Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Psalms, Psalm 17. We'll read verses 1 through 7 together. We'll read this passage responsibly. Psalm 17, verses 1 through 7. Psalm 17, verses 1 through 7. Again, we'll read this passage responsively. Hear the right, O Lord, attend unto my cry. Give ear unto my prayer that goeth not out of feigned lips. Let my sentence come forth from thy presence. Let thine eyes behold the things that are equal. Thou hast proved mine heart. Thou hast visited me in the night. Thou hast tried me, and shall find nothing. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. Concerning the works of men, by the word of thy lips, I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer. Hold up my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not. I have called upon thee, for thou wilt hear me, O God. Incline thine ear unto me, and hear my speech. And let's finish on verse 7 together. Ready? Show me loving kindness, O thou that savest by thy right hand, them which put their trust in thee from those that rise up against them. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for a place called church. Father, thank you for our church. The Holy Spirit of God, would you please work amongst each and every one of us. May we listen, may we pay attention to you and to your word as it's preached. Holy Spirit of God, use our preacher. Fill him with your power, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
This morning, we're going to look at a truth in the Bible that has been there forever, but sometimes it would be easy for us to bypass. A truth that is very comforting, a truth that will help you if you'll allow it to. The Bible says in Psalm 17, verse 3, we shared in the reading of the scripture earlier, it says, Thou hast proved mine heart. Thou hast visited me in the night. God said, I can visit you in the night. Let me tell you a little bit about the story behind this passage of scripture. Both Psalm 16 and Psalm 17 surround a story that was taking place in the Old Testament. This Psalm 17 is a psalm of David. David is running from the king named Saul. Saul was out to kill David. David's running and David's hiding. Saul and Saul's forces had basically encircled David. They had found him. Wouldn't be long now that they would pounce upon him and he would be put to death. Death seemed inevitable for David. The Bible says, in the night, God showed up for David. You have to understand, David realizing that the enemy is all around him, and he realizes probably by morning he'll be a dead man, realizing that he's outnumbered, realizing that he couldn't fight his way out of this thing. And the Bible, David says, Thou hast proved mine heart, thou hast visited me in the night. And this is what happened. Here's David now, surrounded by Saul and surrounded by the enemy, and at that very moment, the Philistines invade Saul's country. Remember, Saul's about to put David to death. But now, the Philistine invades the country, and when that happens, they cry out and they say, the Philistines have invaded, so Saul's army had to turn and go fight the Philistines who had just invaded their army, which meant that David escaped death. You say, why? Well, part of it has to do because God visited him the night before. This is an encouraging statement to me when it's David said, Thou visited me in the night. I think God comes to us and he visits us in the night. You know, one of the things about the Bible is we're often told to go visit him. You see over and over and over again in the Bible, God saying, you come see me, you come see me, you come see me. Matthew 11:28 says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. There God said, you come to me. But here in Psalm 17:3, God said, I will visit you. I like that. I like the idea that God said in this case, I'll come see you. In John 6:37, it says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Now, I'm willing to go to God. I'm willing to come to God. And that's a wonderful verse, just like Matthew 11:28, where he talks about you and I coming to him. But I'm really excited about Psalm 17:3, where he said, I can come visit you in the night. James 4:8 says, draw nigh to God. I should draw up close to God, and I'm glad, and I'm willing to draw up close to God, but I am really thrilled at the thought that he said, you know what, I have the ability to come visit you. It's not just you coming to me. I have the ability to come visit you in the night. Revelation 22:17, it says, and the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. And again, in that verse, three different times, God said, come to me, come to me, come to me. But wait a minute. In Psalm 17:3, he said, I'm willing to come visit you in the night. Isaiah 55:1, it says, oh, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy, and eat. Yea, come. And there I see again three different times God saying, come to me, come to me, come to me, you come to me. But I loved it when I found Psalm 17:3, when the Lord said, I can come to you in the night. You know, it's one thing when we seek Him out, but what an honor the thought that He might seek us out, and especially in the night when we need Him. I was thinking, if you know the historical figure of one of the greatest men of God ever, a man by the name of Charles Haddon Spurgeon, a lot of people don't realize his story is he got saved at church at night. How God reached down and saved a man and used that man to shake the world for Jesus Christ. But it came in the night. Jesus shows himself in the upper room at night. If you know the story, and you know the story of Daniel and the lion's den, you realize they put Daniel in the lion's den. The king went home and went to bed, and God came and shut the lion's mouth through the night. Through the night. It was in the night that God spared the firstborn children of Israel when in captivity to Egypt, and the death angel passed over. God was doing a work in the night. In the night. When I read Psalm 17:3, and it says that He will come to us in the night, that excites me. You say, what is the night? I think it means a couple of things here. I think the night may mean the virtual night time in the dark when everybody else is gone and you're alone and you're by yourself. I think it can virtually mean the night of the day. The night time in our daily life, but it also means in the dark times of life. God said, in the dark times of your life, in the night of life, I can come find you if you need me. Jesus says, I'll come to visit, not in the day, but in the night. Jesus said, I'll come visit, not while there's sun, but in the night. Jesus said, I can come visit. God said, I can come visit in the light, not in the night. In this verse, he tells us, I can come visit, not necessarily in the bright times, but in the night. He said, I can come, not necessarily in the good times, but in the night. He said, I can come and I can visit you, not when it's easy to see, but in the night, when it's dark. He said, I can come to you when it's not a clear time, but in the dusk, in the dark, in the night. You know, Jesus calmed many a storm at night. Look at the stories in the Bible. Often you'll see that as they're describing the story of a catastrophe, it was dark, it was at night, it was not light. And Jerry, I thank God, I serve a God that says, I can get to you when it's dark. I can get to you and find you in the night. And though you might not see me, I can see you and I can get to you in the night. In the night. You know, many a person has needed God in the night. And many a person can say, He showed up in the night when I needed Him. When others won't or others can't get to you in the night, He can. When others don't realize it's dark in your life, God does realize it's dark. You see, we paint on a pretty smile on the front of our face. Not everybody realizes that we're going through darkness, but God does. When others think it's light or day in your life, and God knows the truth, God can get to you in the night. Because He said, Thou hast proven mine heart, and Thou hast visited me in the night. David was about to be put to death. David was about to die. It's nighttime. And he thinks, there's no chance I can get out of this mess. And the Bible says that God visited him in the night. All of a sudden, the Philistines, out of the blue, invade the land. Saul turns his energy toward the Philistines. And David said, God visited me in the night. And look at the result. I live. I go on. And I'm free. God looks for opportunity to be there for us in our night. Our night. Whether it's the night of the gloominess of heartache in your life, or it is the night that it just when the sun goes down and we're all alone, it doesn't seem like there's anybody to reach out to. Our God can come visit us in the night. Let me tell you this, and I want to start here and we'll get on to some other ideas in regard to it. I love the first thing, and that is tonight we're going to have a night church service. The Bible teaches that Jesus attended the night church service. You can be dead sure in this night God will show up at this church. John chapter 20, verse number 1, the Bible says this, The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. It mentions the first day of the week here. That means it was Sunday. Then you go from John chapter 20, verse number 1 to verse number 19, it says, Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut up, where the disciples were assembled for the fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, Peace be unto you. We had a Sunday school lesson a week or two ago about the doctrine of night church services. And here the Bible says that it was nighttime, and these disciples had assembled. That word assemble there is the same word used in Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 25. That word assemble means church. They were having church at night. And guess who showed up? Jesus. Jesus went to night church. Jesus had resurrected from the dead. He appears to Mary Magdalene. Then He appears at a night church service. So you know, He'll be here tonight. You ought to, if you say, well, I knew Jesus was going to be here tonight, I'd show up. He'll be here. You need to show up. Night church is taught in the Bible. Jesus sets an example here by showing up for night church on that day. You say, well, Brother Owens, you know, it's pretty hard sometimes. I get a lot going, can't come back to church that night. He had been dead, and he figured out a way to make it.
Yes, sir.
God does great things here at the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church in our night church services, starting at 7 o'clock tonight. Did you know that this very service that we're talking about here, this is the one where Thomas didn't show up. He came in, so the lady missed everything. And as a result of it, when they tried to tell Thomas, they said, Thomas, guess what? Tonight at church, Jesus was here. Well, Jesus had been crucified, and Thomas didn't believe it. Thomas said, no, you know, He was crucified. No, they said, Jesus was at night church. And Thomas said, I doubt it. And from that point on, we've known Thomas as Thomas the what? Doubter. You'll doubt a lot about God if you don't show up at night church. Jesus, by way of the Holy Spirit, attends the night services here. You be here tonight. Be a part. Hey, you ought to be here as a part of the Sinspiration and the children's choirs and the teen choirs and all the little novel giveaways and everything. You ought to just be here because it's scriptural. It's just right. We weren't putting on a shindig, having hot dogs and bubble gum. You ought to come to church just because it's right to do at night. Why? He said, hey, I'll come visit you at night. Hey, he'll be here tonight. He'll be here tonight. But let me go on. Number two, God visited Joshua in the night as he prepared for the Battle of Jericho. Let me read some scripture to you. Joshua chapter 5, verse 13, it says, "And it came to pass, when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. Joshua went unto him and said unto him, Art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, What saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord of hosts said unto Joshua, Loose thy shoes from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy, and Joshua did so." That passage of scripture, that's taking place just prior to the Battle of Jericho. Joshua was the leader of the children of Israel and the armies of Israel. They were preparing at this point to cross over the Jordan River and to fight the Battle of Jericho. There's only a small group of these Jews, and they really didn't have much in weaponry at all. They had no means, but they were about to cross over Jordan River to try to conquer a great land. The night before they crossed over the Jordan to go to the Battle of Jericho, I picture Joshua pacing back and forth in his tent. He's pacing back and forth. He said, Lord, I've got a big battle tomorrow, and these people are expecting me to lead. I don't have enough soldiers. I don't have enough weapons. But tomorrow I'm going into a great battle, pacing back and forth. You ever pace back and forth knowing that tomorrow you have a battle that you must face? You spiritually ever realize that tomorrow you face something and it's big and it's bigger than you, and you feel outnumbered, and there Joshua was pacing back and forth in his tent, pacing back and forth, realizing tomorrow's a big day and tomorrow's a battle, and he's not sure what he's going to do. The night before, suddenly there appears an angel from the Lord with his sword drawn. It startles Joshua, and Joshua says, "May I ask, whose side are you on?" And that angel, which I believe was probably an Old Testament appearance of Jesus Christ, that angel says, "I am the captain of the host of the Lord. It's going to be okay." And that angel actually uses the word. He pulls out a sword. He said, "Don't worry. I'm here. I'm here." Hey, listen, in the night when it's time to face a battle, hey, your God can show up and say, "Don't worry. I'm here. I'm here." That's exactly what happened. You say, what happened? Hey, once that angel showed up in the night with Joshua, they woke up the next morning, they crossed the river, went over, had the battle of Jericho, and God did a miracle. They did that which was impossible. Why? Jesus showed up in the night. He showed up in the night. When you're about to go to battle, hey, the night before the battle, be watching. Jesus has the ability to come visit you when it's time to go to battle. When the devil is attacking you, look for a visit in the night from Jesus. When you're about to attack the devil, watch for a visit in the night from your God. In the battle of life, expect a visit in the night. Jesus appears to Joshua the night before the battle of Jericho, and the rest is history. You say, that was an awesome battle. I think if you really got down to it, when you get to heaven, you can ask Joshua about it, and everybody else talks about, hey, wasn't that an interesting battle, the battle of Jericho? If you really went to Joshua and said, Joshua, tell me about it. He said, I don't want to tell you about the battle, but let me tell you what happened the night before the battle. The night before the battle, I was outnumbered. I didn't think I could make it. I didn't think we could win. And guess what? I got a visit. Who was the visit from? God, the angel of the Lord, came and told me, chill out, Joshua. Everything's going to be okay. I'm here. And folks, when you're going into a battle, let me assure you of something. The same God that Joshua had, you have. You have. You watched for him in the night. He showed up for me time and time again. And many of you have watched the very same God show up for you the night before the battle. You know, I love that story because in it, at the end of the verse, after this angel has shown up, again, I think it's probably Jesus showing up to show himself strong for Joshua. At the end, the Bible says, and the captain of the Lord, the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoes from off thy foot. The place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. There they are talking. Joshua, now, this appearance of the angel in the night. And the angel said, you know what? We better not forget this. Take your shoes off. Take your shoes off. It was a way of showing reverence to a place or a moment. He said, you take off your shoes because this meeting you and I are having right now, this place is holy ground. And there are some of you, you've watched God come when you thought you would be defeated. You've watched God come. You've watched Him appear. You've watched Him do something great for you. I might recommend at that moment, you just take your shoes off for a moment and never forget that holy ground. I love it. This is not God saying to me, come to me, come to me, come to me. He said, hey, when you need me most, I'm coming to you. I'm going to visit you in the night of your life. Jesus visited. He attended night church. God visited Joshua in the night as he prepared for a battle in life. I noticed this. I noticed that God visited Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fire of the night. In the fire of the night. Let me read some scriptures to you. It says, and these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, rose up in haste, and spake, and said unto the counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loosed walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Hey, in verse number 24 it says that, and this king rose up. Now listen, here's the story. A golden image had been built on the plains of Dura. King Nebuchadnezzar said, everyone must worship this false image. Three Hebrew boys said, we won't do that. We worship Jehovah God and Him only. In the night time, the Bible teaches that a furnace was fired up, and it was fired up double hot. They were going to throw these three young men into that burning fiery furnace for not bowing down and worshiping the false god. These three young men were cast into that fire. The Bible says that this king went and evidently laid down because when it was time for him to go see what was happening in the furnace, he had to get up and go to them. King Nebuchadnezzar went to bed. God came in the night to be in the fire with those three men. The king woke up. The Bible says he rose up and in haste. In other words, he woke up. He realized what had been going on through the night. He rushed down to the furnace. He looked in the furnace and he said, did we not cast three men into the furnace? And somebody said, yes, we did. He said, there are four men in the furnace. They're loose. They're walking around. And it looks like the fourth one must be the Son of God. You know what happened? Jesus had come in the fire of the night, and he was there to help them. And the Bible says not a hair on their heads was burnt. Listen, folks, when God's children are in trouble, he can climb in the fire with you and visit you through the night. Isn't it an amazing thing? I don't know if you all are like me. There are times I can go to bed at night hopeless, brokenhearted, thinking it's all over. Life is ending. Tomorrow's the day of devastation. And God could come in the night, calm you. You wake up the next morning and all of a sudden you say, you know what? I think I can do this. I think I'm going to make it. I think it's going to be okay. God came in the night. God comes in the night. There are times God's doing something for you while you're sound asleep. And you say, I'm in the fire. Isn't it amazing? You say, I can't take anymore. You go to sleep, you wake up, and you say, you know what? I can take another day. I'm going to make it through another day. I can do this through another day. Why? While you're in the fire, God has the ability of coming in the night. In the night. I'll never forget. Back when I was living in Indiana many years ago, preached at the local jail, and I'd go in and I'd preach to the men. I'd preach five times every Tuesday night. I'd gone in to preach to a man. He was getting ready to go to court, and he came to me, and he was behind bars and had a lot of crimes, and he said, I need somebody to go testify for me. I went to my pastor and I said, this guy's asking. He said, oh, can you testify honestly? I said, well, I don't think so. He said, then you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't do that. And so I went back, and the man behind the bars, he said to me, are you going to show up? Are you going to testify for me? I said, I'm not going to be able to do it. He went ballistic. This man went crazy. He started yelling and screaming, and they had a coffee pot there and hot coffee in it. He grabbed it up, he threw it at me, it crashed on the bars, hot coffee and glass, just spreading everywhere. He said, I'll kill you, I'll kill you, I'll kill you. I felt led of God to leave. I left, went home, told my wife, said it's really weird. Next thing you know, there's a knock on my door. Phone was ringing. Picked up the phone. The sheriff's office said, Brother Owens, Tucker broke out of jail. Right after you left, and the last thing anybody heard him say was, I'll kill you! I'll kill you! I'll kill you! He's on the run. Beat up a guard. How he did it, we don't know. He escaped. There's a knock on my door, and I went, as all brave men would, I sent Mrs. Owens to see who it was. Looked out front. It was a man that went to my church. It was a county sheriff. He came and he said, have you heard? I said, I heard. He said, I came right away. They said, you can't take this lightly. They said, you know, I want you to know, his name was John, a dear friend of mine. He said, don't you worry. Lock your doors. He said, I'm parking my cruiser out front. I'll be here all night long. He said, I promise you, I won't sleep. I'll watch you like a mother hen would watch her chicks. We went in and locked the door and went to sleep that night. They ended up arresting the guy 2 or 3 days later in a distant state from which he had to where he had escaped. You say, wow, you're fortunate, Brother Owens, that thought that a man would sit all night long to make sure that you were safe. I've got news for you. You're just as fortunate as I. Matter of fact, you're more fortunate because when you're in the fire, Jesus pulls up his chariot out front and said, don't you worry, my child. I'm here. Don't you worry. I don't slumber. I don't sleep. And there's no bad man that can lick me. I've got you covered. Get your rest, my child. You see, when they were facing the furnace of the fire of life, Jesus said, I can visit you in the night. When your life is dark, be prepared for a visit in the night. If your mate has forsaken you, be ready. You may end up with a visit from someone that loves you. When your house payment has you down and it's got you overwhelmed, hey, don't be shocked if Jesus doesn't visit you in the night. When they tell you that it's cancer and it scares you to death, be ready. When all the lights are off and all the doctor's offices are closed, there's somebody that can come around 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Hey, God can visit. He can visit you in the night. When you hear those words, you're laid off. Watch out now. Get ready. It may be time for you to get a visit in the night. In the night. In the night. When I seen it there in Psalm 17:3, I said, oh boy, Lord, I really like that right there. You're always telling me to come. But every once in a while, I don't, or I'm too tired, or I'm weary, or I'm scared, or I'm wounded. He said, don't worry. When you can, I'll be there. I'll be there for you. I like this. The little boy was afraid of the dark. One night his mother told him to go out to the back porch and bring in her broom. The little boy turned to his mother and said, Mama, I don't want to go out there. It's dark. The mother smiled reassuringly at her son. And she said, you don't have to be afraid of the dark. Jesus is out there. He'll look after you and he'll protect you. The little boy looked at his mother real hard and asked, are you sure he's out there, Mama? Yes, I'm sure. He is everywhere, and he is always ready to help you when you need anything from him, she said. The little boy thought about that for a minute, and then he went to the back door, cracked it open a little bit, peering out into the darkness, and he said, Jesus, are you out there?
Would you please hand me the broom? But let me assure you, he's out there. He's out there. He showed up when the disciples were brokenhearted over his death. He was their leader. He was dead. And they were brokenhearted and scared. And he said, you know what? I better show up for church tonight. Even though I've just been dead, I'll be there. Why? They needed him at that moment. They needed him. He said, I'm coming to you. We find out that in the battle of life, Joshua, he was there to help Joshua. It was the night before that the battle of Jericho was won, not the day of. Now we see that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego going through the fires of life. And in the night, Jesus climbed into the furnace and took care of them. I think of the story of God visiting Jacob in the night when Jacob was backslidden. Genesis chapter 35, verse 1 through 3, it says, And God said unto Jacob, Arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, Put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments. Let us arise up. Let us go to Bethel. I will make there an altar unto God who answered me in the day of my distress and was with me in that which I went. Here's the story. Jacob had a brother whose name was Esau. Esau was the oldest, and the family's birthright or inheritance was to scripturally go to his older brother. Esau was a hunter. Jacob was a bit of a mama's boy. Esau came in from the hunt. He was hungry. Matter of fact, he thought he would starve. Have you ever been there? You ever been there where you just think if you don't have something to eat right now, people could die? You or whoever's not fixing the food. One of the two. Well, Jacob had made up some soup. His brother comes in starved to death after hunting. Jacob ends up tricking his brother out of the birthright and trading him some soup or some porridge for that birthright. Now Rebekah, their mother, tells her sweet little son Jacob, says, You better run, Esau could kill you. And from that point on, you see Jacob in the scripture, he's running because of his sin and because of his past. Now let me tell you something, if you're not careful and you're a trickster, you may reap what you have sown. Later on in life, Jacob wanted to marry a woman, and when he wanted to marry Rachel, and her daddy said, Well, if you'll work for me for 7 years, I'll give you Rachel. Brother Knight, have you thought about that? You could get 14 years of service out of these guys to get your daughters. But he came along, he said, I want to marry Rachel. Dad said, You can marry her if you give me 7 years of service. They show up wedding day. He put his 7 years of hard labor in, show up wedding day. She had a veil over her head. They did the ceremony. They took the veil off, and it wasn't Rachel. It was her sister Leah. Then he had to work 7 more years to get the woman that he wanted. Now me, I would have learned my lesson the first time. We wouldn't be asking any more trades with this man. You say, how in the world did he not know who was behind that veil? Maybe she was ugly and they put a bag over her head. I don't know. I don't know how it worked. But let me tell you this, he got deceived. Well, he had deceived his brother many years prior. Now he's reaping that deception later on in life. Here's a man that he's running from God. I don't have time to tell all the story. But Jacob, his life is a bit of a mess, and he doesn't have what he needs. He's away from God, away from church, away from God's man. And the Bible says that God comes to Jacob in the night of his backslidden condition. And God says, Jacob, you get back to Bethel. You arise, you get up tomorrow morning, you tell everybody we're getting right with God. And you get back to Bethel, the place of blessing and the house of God. And that's what happened. He got up, he arose, he said to everybody, we're getting this straightened out. And we're going back and we're going to get right with God. We're getting back into the will of God. Folks, God visits when we're backslidden. God has little ways of inserting Himself into your life because of this or because of that. And that's God visiting you when you're backslidden, trying to say to you, you get back into church. You get right with God. You get back into your Bible. And I don't always know what that little touch or that little nudge from God is, but there are people under the sound of my voice. God has nudged you toward Him. He's shown up in the darkness of the night of your backslidden condition, and He's nudging you and saying, you get back to God. You get back to the church. You get back into your Bible. You get back to living right. Maybe it's this sermon. You say, well, Brother Owens, it's morning. No, but in your life it's night. It's night right now. You're out from away from God, and the shadow of your sin has made your life dark, and your marriage dark, and your relationship with people dark, and it's dark in your life because you're away from God. And maybe God would use this sermon to say to you, back to Bethel. Maybe God's visiting your heart right this second. Do you need to come back to God? The prodigal son came to his senses the night before he went home to his dad. Luke 15:18, he said, I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven in my sight. I will arise. I'll get up and go there. I want to get there. If you're away from God, your life is dark. Your sin darkens your life. God will visit you if you want to come back to Him. Our God is a God of a second chance. And let me say, and let me remind everybody in this church, and if you've been at this church any time at all, you already know this. Look right at me, folks. Look right at me. Don't let anything disturb you. Let me say to you, and let me remind everybody under the sound of my voice today, our God is a God of a second chance, and you're no better and you're no smarter than God. And if He can give somebody a second chance, you should too. You should too. Our God will visit backslidden Jacob in the night and say, you get back to church. You get back to the place of blessing. Somebody here today, you need to let this cause you to be reminded of the God that you once served. Somebody needs to rededicate their life. And again, look right at me, folks. Only step out if it's an emergency. You don't understand. People need what's being said. Somebody's life is on the line. Look right at me. So I see in Psalm 17:3, it says, Thou hast proved mine heart. Thou hast visited me in the night. David, he was outnumbered. David, it was a mess. Tomorrow, he would probably die at the hand of Saul and all of his soldiers. And the Bible says, David testifies. He said, But Thou visited me in the night. The next day, somebody yells, Wait! The Philistines are attacking. All of Saul's army turn and go the other direction. And David escapes. Why? Because God visited him in the night. We see that Jesus attended a night church service because they needed him in the night. Joshua's preparation for the battle of Jericho, the miracle was the night before. Jacob was backslidden. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the night. Jacob in the night. And we see God working in the night. Please stay with me. God visited Elijah in the night, when his spirit was down. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 4 and 5, the Bible says that he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree and requested for himself that he might die. He said, It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. And as he lay and sleep under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, Arise and eat. Here's the story. Elijah had faced many battles in life, maybe some self-inflicted, maybe others inflicted in the course of life. Life had beaten the strength out of him, and some of you need to sit up and pay very close attention. Life had beat the normal strength out of him, and Elijah runs. He found himself in the wilderness under a juniper tree, wanting to die. Jezebel, the king's wife, a domineering, loud-mouthed Jezebel, is out now to kill him. He is tired. Elijah is tired of fighting. He wants to quit all of his duties. He just wants to resign everything because he's wore out from the battle. It's nighttime. Basically, he has ran to sleep to mask his depression. God wakes him in the night and touches him with a new strength. He gets up and the Bible says he goes for weeks without a meal or without rest again. And God comes to him and he says, Elijah, you can do this. You can make it. But it was in the night that supernatural power came upon him, because the Bible says the angel actually had to wake him up
getting moving again. Life gets heavy. But God can visit us when we face those times of discouragement and those times of depression. God has a way of healing the heart. God has a way of strengthening. Let me warn all of you. The minute something hits you that wounds you, and the minute something hits you and it depresses you, if it becomes a deep discouragement, you better be careful. Start changing a bunch of things about your life. You're wounded. It may be that you need to keep doing what you're doing and then wait for a visit from God in the night. You'll be shocked how you go through a couple of nights after the injury, how all of a sudden new strength begins to come to you. God through the night is doing something inside you. God through the night is strengthening you. God through the night is fixing things up. Everybody here, once again, I'll remind you, you go to bed depressed. There's many people that wake up the next morning and say, you know what? That coffee smells good. That air smells good. Look at that sunshine. I think I can do this. But God visits in the night. He comes in the night. God is a lifter of heavy hearts. He is your... if your outlook is dark, He can visit in the dark. Has your smile vanished? He can visit in the night. Is your laughter vanquished? He can visit in the night. Is your attitude dark and negative? Is it all over with in life? Some of you have been there before. Some of you have been there before where you say, I don't think I can make it. I don't think I can take it. I can't take anymore. But it's a wonderful thing. You did take more, didn't you? Yes, you did. And you can do it again. Don't you rob God of the training He gave you the last time you were down and depressed to the point of wanting to run and hide. Don't do that. Think back to what God did for you before and realize He's coming in the night again. He's coming. Watch out. Watch your attitude. Watch those dark negatives. He can visit in the night. It was a dark, stormy night. The Marine was on his first assignment, and it was a guard duty. A general stepped out, taking his dog for a walk. The nervous private snapped to attention, made a perfect salute, and snapped out, "Sir, good evening, sir." The general, out for some relaxation, returned the salute and said, "Good evening, Marine. Nice night, isn't it?" Well, it wasn't a nice night. But the private wasn't going to disagree with the general. So, he saluted again and said, "Sir, nice night. Yes, sir." The general continued, "You know, there's something about a stormy night that I find soothing and relaxing. Don't you agree, soldier?" The private didn't agree, but the private was just a private and responded, "Sure, stormy night, pleasant, yes, sir." The general pointed at the dog. "This is a golden retriever," the general said, "the best type of dog to train." The private glanced at the dog, saluted, and said again, "Sir, golden retriever, yes, sir, best dog to train, yes, sir." The general continued and said, "I got this dog from my mother-in-law." The private said, "Good trade, sir." It's good for a couple of you to laugh. I thought your frown was going to overwhelm your whole body and you were going to pop into nothingness there for a second. I love Psalm 17:3 where the Lord comes and He says, "I can visit you in the night." But we say, "Lord, you told us to come. You told us to come. You told us to come. You told us to come." But God said, "There are times when I'm going to just show up. I'm going to show up unannounced, and I'm going to show up in the fire, and I'll show up in the battle, and I'll show up in the evening service, and I can show up in the depression, I can show up in the war, and I can show up when you need me." Now, God's not saying He's always going to come do for you what you can do for yourself, but many a time I've wondered, can I make it, can I take it, and all of a sudden, the mighty captain comes, draws his sword, and he says, "Jeff, I'm here. It's going to be okay." God visits people in the night and brings them to salvation. Acts chapter 16, verse 25 and 26, it says, "And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. The prisoners heard them, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loose." The Bible says in verse 29 and 30, it says, "Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?'
Here's the story. Paul and Silas were in jail. It was midnight. An earthquake came. Everybody look right at me, please. An earthquake came. It shook their cell door to the point that the cell door popped open. The prison guard then pulls out his sword to kill himself because he knew if his prisoners escaped, he would be put to death by his superiors anyway, so he's going to go ahead and commit suicide for failing at his job. Paul says, don't do that. Paul ends up winning this man to Christ. The guard then takes Paul and Silas, washes their wounds, and they baptize him in the night. Listen, if you're here and you're not born again, it's really dark in your life. Oh, really dark. You're in darkness. You need to get saved. You need the light of Jesus to dawn upon your sin-sick soul. See, 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. I remember when I was saved one night. I'd been in church, I knew what it meant to be saved, but I wasn't saved. I'll never forget that night when Jesus reached down and saved my sin-sick soul.
Yeah.
Set my feet on a rock. Now, I'm still standing on the rock. Sometimes it's dark, sometimes it's light on the rock, but the rock's foundation has never changed.
Yeah.
I'm saved, and I know I'm saved. Listen to me, if you're not saved, you're living in darkness. See, a lot of things about the Bible I don't understand. You won't understand them until you get Jesus, the interpreter, on the inside of you. He's the dictionary of explanation that's necessary from the inside to explain to you what you need to know about the Bible on the outside. Hey, let me warn you. Are you a senior citizen in your twilight years and unsaved? Yeah, realize how dangerous that is? You see, I'm kind of in the night of my life, toward the end of the journey. It doesn't have to be the end of the journey. If you'd get saved, your senior years would just be a couple steps before the beginning of the journey in heaven. Hey, I'm not here to try to scare you. Are you sick? If I were sick, there's one thing I'd make sure I did. I'd make sure I got to the doctor. I'm talking about the soul doctor. I'm talking about Jesus. The doctor that comes in the night of your lost condition and saves you and sheds light on eternity for you. If you're here and you're not saved, you need to get saved. If you're here and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, He comes here in this story in Acts chapter 16 and He saves somebody in the night. And anybody who is not born again, you're living in the darkness of night. And you need the light of Jesus Christ to shine unto your soul. And you need to get born again. I picture it. I picture David knowing, tomorrow I'll die. The king, his army, I'm surrounded, they've been chasing me. And at night, he says, thou hast proved mine heart. Thou hast visited me in the night. And the next day, another enemy attacks. David's attacker goes after the secondary enemy, and David walks away having known that God visited him in the night. We see it throughout the Bible. We see that Jesus attended a night service because it was so necessary to help the people. We see that Joshua, the night before, was helped with the Battle of Jericho. We see in the night, in the fire of life, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had the privilege of having Jesus with him in the night. Jacob in a backslid, look right at me. Jacob in a backslid, help me usher. Sometime we need people set right back here to make sure that doesn't happen. Jesus, Jacob in the night was backslidden and away from God. And then finally Elijah in his depression. That's somebody who come to him in the night. If you are in the night of life, I've got good news for you. He visits you in the night. Let's bow our heads.